Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen. Well, you may have your seats. For all the ladies, our ladies' tea is coming up again on April 26th. It's a Saturday at 10 a.m. Tickets are on sale at our bookstore for $15. It's going to be a great event. Tickets are already going fast. And mark your calendars for March 9th. Joining us on that Sunday morning is going to be Todd Levin. He's an anointed teacher, and we're glad to have him. He's been here several times before. So you want to make plans to be here on that Sunday. And he spent several years in the Czech Republic and started seven churches and a Bible school that's still going on there today. And mark your calendar so that that'll be March 9th. And then if anybody's interested, spring will be coming up soon. You can bet on that by faith. Amen. And if you desire to help us maintain our beautiful grounds, our just under 7 acres that the Lord has given us, we'd like for you to be part of our team. And Luke would like that too. And so if you're interested, you can see Luke. He's sitting in the back there. And we'll need many hands make light work. So we're looking for an increase on our maintenance team. And that'll be a great opportunity. And here at VCF, we don't pass a container, but we do receive tithes and offerings. We have a container in the back, and you can put that in there anytime during the service. And, you know, it's a good thing to give to God. Amen? And giving is how God brings increase to us. So let's pray over that. Father, we give you thanks and praise that you have enabled us to be able to give unto you, Lord. You've blessed us with all good things. And so, Father, we give a portion to you. Our tithe and our offerings. We honor you with that, Lord, and we thank you that every gift and giver is blessed by your hand. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, it's Wednesday night. Amen. And you're about to get something good. How many know that we live in a community? And did you know that God put you in this community, in the community that you're in, for a reason? You're not just there to take up space, but you are there to impact your community. You say, well, how can I impact my community? I am so glad that you asked that question. Because we are going to talk about some keys that will help us release God's power into our community. How many know that a community can be changed with God's power? And God just needs a man or a woman of faith who will latch onto him, who knows how to bring heaven down, and you can bring change to your community. And I'm looking for our community to be changed, to be transformed, to be ignited with a holy fire. I believe that God can do great things. And we have a storehouse here. And this is a place that's ready for the, we're getting ready for the harvest that God's going to bring in. Amen? So if you have your Bibles, I want you to go to the Acts chapter 2. And we're going to see six keys on how we can release God's power into our community. Now, obviously, we're not going to get to all six tonight. But I'm going to give them to you first, and then we're going to get into it. If you're ready, say amen. Amen. Okay. Well, the first key that we need to release God's power is we need the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Yeah. There's nothing that can transform a community better than the Holy Spirit. He is a community transformer. All right? He can change things. Secondly, we have to have faith in the name of Jesus. When we have faith in the name of Jesus, we operate under his authority and his power, and we can do what he did on this earth. So we need faith in his name. Thirdly, if you want to change your community, you are going to have to fellowship with Jesus. When you fellowship with Jesus, you're going to be bold. You're going to be courageous. You're going to be fearless. And that's the kind of people that we need to bring change to the community. Amen? And fourthly, we're going to have corporate prayer. How many know that God moves when his people pray? And we're going to need to pray. We're going to need to come together and pray. And maybe coming up, we're just going to have to schedule a corporate prayer night where we just come and, you know, prayer helps us plug into the power. And if you're not plugged in, your light won't come on. But we got to stay plugged in. And then fifthly, we have to unite together for God's cause. The power of unity. When we come together, what is, you know, God's cause is bigger than us. It's bigger than an individual. And when people unite together, great things can happen. Because united will stand, but divided will fall. And then finally, we're going to have the fear of the Lord. There's nothing that can change a community better than the fear of God. When people reverence, respect, and honor the Lord, his things, and his people. So we need to have the fear of God. All right? Now go with me to Acts chapter 2. And let's go to verse 41. We're going to start here. And we're going to see how this happened. Okay? Acts chapter 2 and verse 41. It says, then they, everybody say they. So we're talking about more than one person, right? Okay? They gladly received his word. Okay? So God's word goes forth, and for everyone who receives his word, things are going to happen. Say, I'm here to receive God's word. Say, I'm a receiver and I'm a believer. Because when you receive God's word, things happen, okay? And they that gladly, notice they gladly received it. They were happy to receive it. They were happy to hear it. They gladly received his word and were baptized. The same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Now, just think for a minute. If 3,000 people in our community got saved in one day, do you think that'd bring change to our community? Do you think our community would be impacted greatly? Okay. Well, how did this come about? How did 3,000 people come to the point where they gladly received the Lord and they became believers? Let's go to Acts chapter. Let's go to the beginning of the chapter. Something occurred on this day. God had designated this day to fulfill what he had been saying for years. Did you know that God had been promising his people that he was going to pour out his spirit in several places? We're going to look at just a few, okay? But in Acts chapter 2, okay, it says, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they, everybody say they. So this is more than one person, right? We have a they right here, don't we? Okay. They were all with one accord and in one place. Are we in one place? Hopefully we're in one accord. That has nothing to do with Honda. but it has something to do with an attitude of hearts. We are gathered together for a divine purpose. We're gathered together because we see something greater in the Lord Jesus. Okay? And suddenly, there came a sound from heaven. I like to say it this way. A sound from heaven came suddenly. How many know that if we're going to impact our community, we're going to have to be in tune with heaven? We're going to have to be on heaven's frequency. You know, heaven's got some sounds. Can you hear the sound of heaven? Can you hear what's happening in heaven? Can you feel the beat of heaven? Amen? Oh, notice that suddenly there came a sound, okay? And the sound was like a rushing mighty wind. Anybody ever been in a place where there was a rushing mighty wind? You hear shoosh. Right? The wind moves and you can hear it. Okay? And it filled all the house where they were sitting. You ever hear wind come into a building? It's got a sound to it, doesn't it? It makes things move. And this rushing mighty wind, see, there was a sound, and this rushing mighty wind, it came into the place where they were at and it filled the house. Listen, God likes to take care of atmospheres. He likes to prepare atmospheres because God works in atmospheres. And sometimes his presence has got to come in and clear things out. So he cleared it, and first of all, the house was filled. And then there appeared unto them tongues like as of fire. So we got a sound, we got wind, and we got fire. What do all those speak of? They speak of the Holy Spirit, but more importantly, they speak of power. Amen. When you crank your stereo up and you're driving down the road and your back windows is bouncing because of the bass, you know, it speaks of power. It takes power to make loud sounds, doesn't it? Guitars have what? Amplifiers. And when you can play an electric guitar, and it won't mean that, but you plug that thing into an amp, and you magnify that sound, and boy, it makes a difference. Okay? So, now, notice what happened. Okay, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. How many were filled? Listen, if we want to affect our community, right now, tonight, we can all be filled. Well, I was filled a while ago. Well, how many times do you have to fill up your car? Huh? Does your car stay full? You've got to keep filling it up, right? And just because you were filled with the Holy Ghost doesn't mean that you can't be filled again. Because the same people in Acts 2 were the same people in Acts 4, and they got filled again in Acts 4. Welcome to the filling station tonight. Okay? And as they were filled, what was the result of them being filled? They, what? Began to speak other languages or in tongues, right? Who did the speaking? Who gave them what to say? The Holy Spirit. So the people did the speaking. Listen, if you want to be filled with the Holy Spirit, you're going to be the one speaking, and the Holy Spirit will give you the words, but you're going to have to do the speaking. You're going to have to move your mouth and your tongue, and your teeth. Whatever you need to do to make words come out of you. So the Spirit gave them the utterance. Now notice verse 5. And there were dwelling at Jerusalem Jews, devout men, from where? Do you realize that God used this event to touch every nation? There was a conference in Jerusalem. And Jews, devout men from every nation, were there at this moment, at this time. How many know God has perfect timing? Because there was something that had to begin. It had to begin in Jerusalem. Why? God said it was going to begin in Jerusalem. Acts 1:8, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses where? In Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria and to the uttermost part of the earth. So Jerusalem was the springboard to effect change in every community. And the change that took place in Jerusalem can take place in every community, any community where people come together to connect with God. I want to connect with God tonight. You want to connect with God tonight? You got some batteries that need to be charged tonight? The Holy Ghost is going to give you a holy jump. He's going to energize you. Okay? Why? Because we can't affect our community on our own. Programs don't change a community. Power does. Power is what changes a community. The power of God, more specifically. And thank God that we can have God's power in our life. We can have it every day. We can have it working in us and through us. Anybody want to be a conductor of God's power? I'm just a copper wire in God's house. Flow through me, Lord. Flow through me. But in order for the power to flow through you, you got to be connected. There can't be a short in your connection. If there's a short in your connection, the power will be hindered from flowing through you. Amen? And so they were amazed, they were confused, because they heard these people who were from Galilee speaking in all their languages. Notice some of the places: Parthians, Medes, Elamites, Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, and Asia. They were speaking Chinese. They were speaking Medish. They were speaking Egyptian. They were speaking Libyan. They were speaking Cyrenese. They were speaking Italian. Those are some of the places that were represented, that they told us where they were from, right? They were speaking Arabic. And what were they saying? They were talking about the wonderful works of God. Just go into your community and start talking about the goodness of God and see what happens. I remember of the story of Smith Wigglesworth. And he had preached a meeting at a church and for this pastor. And the pastor then took him out to lunch at this nice place. And Smith Wigglesworth was about to pray over his food. And he noticed that no one else was taking some time to pray over their food. So he stood up and banged his glass. He got everybody's attention. Oh, I can't believe he did that. Listen. Do you want to change your community? Then you have to know that you don't have a spirit of fear. And so he got everybody's attention. And he says, I'm about to pray for my food. He said, I'm going to pray for your food too. And he had this deep bellowing voice, you know, it carried. And so he prayed for people. And that day there was like two or three people that got saved in that restaurant. See, you don't know what God can do. He just needs an opportunity. He just needs someone to be willing to be yielded to Him and just to watch what God can do. Listen, Christianity is not for spectators. You have to be a different kind of tater. You have to be you know, it's not a spectator. A spectator just sits and looks. I can't think of another tater. I wanted to say demonstrator, but that's not quite a tater. They don't belong to the tater family. Okay. Then let's go to verse 14. Peter stood up with the 11. Thank God, say, Peter didn't have to stand alone. Come on, say it. Peter didn't have to stand alone. Listen, when you stand up for God, you won't be standing alone. So Peter stood up with the 11. Now, they didn't know what was going to happen. God told them in Luke 24, he said, I want you to go and wait in Jerusalem for the promise of my Father. Now, these people that gathered in Jerusalem, especially in this particular place, they didn't know what was going to happen. They didn't know how God was going to manifest his promise. They didn't know how his promise was going to be. They just showed up. And there was 120 of them. And they'd been praying. They'd been waiting there for several days. You understand, it took 50 days from the time that Jesus resurrected to the day of Pentecost. How many of you would be willing to wait 50 days just in the presence of God for God to move? Something to think about. I'm sure that there were some people that got antsy. They'd be like, they show up to this prayer meeting and they don't know what's going to happen, you know. They're just, they're praying every day. They're praying. They're faithful. They're just waiting on God. They're praying. They're waiting on God. They're praying. They're waiting on God. Then all of a sudden they hear something. And all of a sudden they feel something. And all of a sudden they see something. And things start to move a lot quicker after that. So Peter stands up with the 11. And he says, you men of Judea and all that dwell in Jerusalem, be this known unto you and hearken to my voice, or hearken to my words. I'll tell you what, when you stand up, you got to demand authority. You got to stand up with some confidence. You got to stand up with some intestinal fortitude. Now, this was the man who denied Jesus. What happened from the time he denied Jesus and now? Something filled Peter with an overwhelming power. He had a boldness that he didn't have before. He had an unction that he didn't have before. He had a drive and a motivation that he didn't have before. Something was coursing through him like fire, like a volcanic eruption. I know what that means because that comes on me. And I can you see it. It forces my words out. You know, when I want to be quiet, they just come out loud. And I can't stand still because there's something on the inside of me that's moving. It's like a locomotive. When that locomotive, you're putting the coal into the thing, and it's getting faster and faster and faster, running down that track. He had to address the mockers because there were people that thought they were drunk. You know, being filled with the Holy Spirit, to the world, it's like being drunk. Those of us that have been drunk, you know what being drunk does to you. It affects you. It makes you talk funny. It makes you walk funny. It makes you do crazy things. And sometimes when you're filled with the Holy Spirit, you do crazy things, you talk funny, and you walk funny, and you can't even stand up sometimes. It is like you're drunk. But Peter said, these are not drunk like you think. But they are filled with the Holy Spirit. He said, this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. I want you to understand that God spoke this years and years before it happened. He spoke it through Joel. He spoke it through Isaiah. He spoke it through Ezekiel. He spoke it through Jeremiah. He said, I'm going to pour out my spirit on all those who are thirsty. Who's thirsty tonight? Maybe you're here tonight and you're going through a dry spell. You feel like being in the presence of God is kind of awkward. You don't really know how to respond or what to do. It's just kind of awkward. You know, we've all had awkward moments. You have an awkward moment, you don't know what to do, you don't know what to say. It's like, ugh. But the prophet said that he will flood dry ground. What happens when a flood comes on dry ground? That ground that was dry and crusty all of a sudden gets saturated and wet and soaked. God wants some people who have been soaking in His presence, because that's the only people that He can use to change communities. Are people that have been soaking in His presence, dwelling in His power, and just waiting for that moment. You know, a Christian who's been soaking in the power is like a NASCAR racer at the starting line. What do they say? Gentlemen, start your engines. And they're ready to go. They're at the starting gate. The engines are revving. They're just waiting for the green light to hit the gas. As Christians, our engines are here. We're at the starting gate. We're revving our engines, and we're just waiting for God to say go. And the minute God says go, we go wherever He goes. Wherever He wants us to go, we go. If he says jump up and shout, we jump up and shout. If we feel an overwhelming joy, we laugh. Oh yes, you can laugh in church. Our God is a happy God. There's no sadness in God. There's no sadness in heaven. So God doesn't get sad, although He feels our sorrow. He can relate to us. So then, He tells them what Joel spoke, and that comes from Joel chapter 2. And go down to verse 33. He says, therefore, being by the right hand of God exalted, having received of the Father the promise. I want you to see something. They went from having it poured out to having received it. Do you see that? In the first part of the chapter, the Holy Spirit was poured out, but now He says, having received of the Father the promise of the Holy Spirit, He has shed forth this which you now see and hear. When the Holy Spirit is operating, you will see things and you will hear things. Why? Because He's a demonstrator. He doesn't just like us to talk about Him. He likes to show Himself strong on our behalf. Paul said that the Holy Spirit demonstrates His power. So He's a demonstrator. It's like when you go to the grocery store and you see those people that are displaying a new product. And they're there, the Ginsu knife, you know, he's there cutting through the brick and cutting through the can and then slicing a tomato. What are they doing? They're doing a demonstration. They're showing you how it works. God is not afraid of showing people how His kingdom works. And every time we gather in a service, it is a demonstration for God to show Himself strong, to heal, to deliver, to save, to set free, to fill, to lift up. And this is the very stuff that occurred for them to bring great change to their community. It was a key. So when the people heard what Peter was preaching, something happened on the inside. It says that they were cut to the heart. How many know that the Holy Ghost knows how to get to the heart of the matter? He knows exactly what every one of us are dealing with right now. And I've had countless people come up to me after a message, and they said, you were speaking to me, and I had no idea I was speaking to them. But the Holy Ghost did. See, because He can read your mail. Because He's been authorized by God to discern between the joint and the marrow and the soul and spirit. He discerns thoughts and He discerns the intents of men's hearts. And you can't hide from the Holy Ghost. Amen? So they were cut to the heart. Let's go down to verse 37. Now when they heard this, what did they hear? What was Peter doing? What did they hear? What was he preaching? He was preaching Joel. He was preaching from the Bible. He was encouraging them. He was exhorting them. They heard this. What are you hearing tonight? You're hearing about how you can affect your community with the power of God. This is just one key. Imagine if we operated in all six. Imagine what change we can bring to our family, to our community, to our nation. God used 120 people, and in one day they went from 120 to 3,120. Because they did these things. Okay? They heard this. They were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter. So they were cut to the heart. They were convicted. You ever come to church and get convicted? Not sentenced to a crime, but arrested in your bad behavior or your bad thinking or your bad believing. Oh, yeah, I've been convicted many, many times. Because that's what the Holy Spirit does. He loves you too much to leave you the way you are. He'll accept you the way you are, but he won't leave you that way. Because he wants you to grow in the knowledge of God. He wants to bring you into all truth. He wants to lead, guide, and direct you into better things, into greener pastures, into calmer streams. Okay? So, they said to Peter, to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Listen, Peter didn't give an altar call. They asked a question. He was just preaching. All of a sudden, they said, wait a minute, Peter. What do I need to do? What do I need to do? I like those altar calls where I don't have to compel the people. The Holy Spirit was compelling the people. What do we have to do? Peter told them exactly what they needed to do. He said to them, repent. Stop doing the bad and start doing good. Change your direction. Change your thoughts. Change your mindset. Change your direction. Say, change is good when God initiates that change. So he told them to repent. Peter's first message was repentance. And be baptized, every one of you. How did the 120 people baptize 3,000? I would imagine that would have taken some time. What ratio would that be? 300 to 1? If there was 3,000 people and 120, it would be about, 300 to 1. If everyone baptized 300 people, that'd be 3,000, right? Pretty close. Anyway, the 120 had to do the baptizing. I mean, they couldn't expect Peter to baptize them all. Poof, poof, just an assembly line. Poof, poof, poof. I mean, after 50 people, you'd get pretty tired, wouldn't you? I could see the other 11 saying, what are you talking about, Peter? There's 3,000 people. They didn't have a fire hose. Peter said, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's being born again. For the remission of sins, and as a bonus gift, you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Did you know that God's second greatest gift to you is the Holy Spirit? First greatest gift is salvation. Second greatest gift is the Holy Spirit. And he's a gift to you. He's a blessing to you. He's a benefit to you. He's a person. And God gave him to us as a gift. How many times do we not treat the Holy Spirit like a gift that was given to us by God? You know, the Bible says to quench, not the Spirit. When the Holy Ghost fire is moving, we don't want to get out the blanket that's been soaking in water and try to put the fire out. Oh my goodness, there's a fire, put it out. No, some fires don't need to be put out. Some fires need to be breathed upon so they burn brighter. Did you know that the Holy Spirit can be grieved? When he tells you to do something and you don't do it, you grieve him. You make him sad. We're not supposed to grieve the Holy Ghost. You know, you may not understand in the moment why the Holy Spirit is telling you to do what he's telling you to do, but you just got to do it. Because that may be the very spark that ignites a holy fire. Fires are started with sparks, aren't they? And when someone is obedient to the Holy Spirit, it could be the very spark that starts the fire. Okay? So they had to repent, they had to be baptized, everyone, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and they shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Notice there was no doubt in that. You shall receive. For the promise, verse 39, is unto you. Say, the promise is for me. And for my children, and to every believer. The Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, the power of God is for every believer. It's necessary. What did Jesus leave us when he left? The Holy Spirit. And we've got to work with the Holy Spirit. He's the Spirit of truth. He is holy. He is God's Spirit. And John said, I baptize you with water, but there is one that comes after me who will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. I'm so thankful that at the age of 12 years old, I got baptized in fire. The fire knocked me on my behind, but it made me happy. And notice verse 40. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. So his sermon didn't end there. Right in the middle of his sermon, people got filled with the Holy Spirit. They were baptized. Then he continued to preach. Sounds like my kind of preacher. You know, my very first sermon, I went for 45 minutes. I just love the Word. I'm a Jesus addict. So these were the results. Notice then what happened, verse 41. They that gladly received his word were baptized. Okay, they added 3,000 souls. They continued in the steadfastly in the doctrine. That's teaching. How many know that once you get born again, you got to continue with teaching? You got to be taught. Preaching brings them in. Teaching grows them up. It's important for us to come together and to be taught the Word. Some people think that they don't need church. They're a fool. I can say that because Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus bought the church with his blood. He made the greatest investment in the church. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail to me. That tells me that the church is pretty important. They continued in teaching and in fellowship and communion and prayer. And the Bible said that fear came upon every soul and many wonders and signs were done. How many know that wonders and signs will change a community? This was a direct result of the Holy Spirit. So we need to experience, and I want you to notice that the Holy Spirit's already here. He's already been poured out. He's already here working. He's already here moving. He's already here speaking. The question is, are we participating with him? Are we doing his thing or our thing? God wants to radically transform your life. He wants to energize you. He wants to strengthen you. He wants to edify you. He's called the Comforter, the Counselor, the Advocate, the Standby, the Strengthener. That's the Holy Spirit. Go with me to Acts 3. I'm only going to get into this second one because I want to pray for people. We have to have a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. We need the fire of God. God is not into anything that's dead. Jesus left dead. The angels told the people, "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" Now, there are a lot of churches all over the world that don't appreciate the power of the Holy Spirit. They would rather do their man-made forms and programs and pomp and circumstance. I know, I grew up in a dead church. They didn't pray for the sick. They didn't pray to get people healed. They didn't pray to get people filled. It was the same thing, week after week, year after year. That's why as a young boy I always slept. It was a dead church. There was no life there. They had a form of godliness, but they denied the power. I don't want to be a church that denies the power. I don't just want to have a form of godliness. I want God to be working through us, stirring our hearts and moving us forward, and progressing in his will and taking over where he planted us. Did you know that Esther took over a heathen kingdom? She was an orphan girl in the middle of the Persian Empire. And out of all the women, the king chose her. Joseph was a foreigner in Egypt. But God put him in there to take over Egypt. And because he held on to God, he was able to do what God wanted him to do, and God kept rising him up. He was like cream. He always rose to the top. He was like a buoy. He could be put down by 10 people, and he just pops right back up. Daniel worked for 4 kings that were not Hebrew. They were Babylonian, Persians, and Medes. He was a foreigner. Him and 3 friends changed a nation because of their faith in God, their faith in his name. 12 men who got hooked up with a crazy carpenter, fishermen and tax collectors and zealots. And for 3.5 years, they walked with Jesus and they transformed the world. They turned the world upside down. And they had less stuff than we do. We got to get going. We got to get with God's program. We got to get connected with the power of God. God is calling us to be a radical, glorious. He's coming back for a glorious church, one without spot or wrinkle. And if he needs to take the iron and get out the wrinkles before he comes, he's got to iron off the wrinkles and with his power, with his presence. We got to be a glorious church. Not some wishy-washy church. Not some I wish I would have could have church. We have an assignment right where we are. God's put us right where we are. And we've got to make ourselves available to God because God wants to work through you. Who shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover? Preachers? Believers? Who's a believer? If you're a believer, say hallelujah. Hallelujah. If you're a believer, stand up. The These are important keys. Do you notice that the apostles did some good things while Jesus was here, but they did greater things when he left and we had the Holy Spirit fully? Now, the 70, when they went out, they said, oh, even the devils are subject to us. You know, we are supposed to go forth, cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse lepers, and raise the dead, because freely we have been given. God's given you something. He's given you the Holy Ghost. He's given you his word. He's given you his name. He's given you the ability. But we just got to go and do it. We've got to impact our community. And if you don't know what to do, pray. And God will show you. If you don't know where to go, pray. God will show you. He'll move. The Bible said that the disciples went out and preached the word everywhere, and Jesus worked with them, confirming his word with signs following. It's about, we're living in a day when signs need to occur in Walmart, when signs need to occur in the workplace, when signs need to occur not just in the church, but on the streets, in the offices, in the places of business. Do you realize that you are carriers of the divine anointing of God that breaks yokes and removes burdens? And when you walk into a place, you can take authority because of the one who lives in you. We're not supposed to be conformed to this world. See, the problem is we get mixed up in the world and we start looking like the world, talking like the world, and acting like the world. We've got to keep our difference. We're not to be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. If you're in a place where there's no joy, it is your job to bring joy there. It is your job to release joy there. Problem is, we complain about the lack of joy. Oh, there's just no joy. Then why are you there? You've got the joy giver inside of you. Bring some joy there. Go to the grocery store and buy a gallon of joy and spread it all around. But we need to be filled, people. We got to be filled with the power of God. We can't afford to play games with God. We can't afford to have our mind cluttered with so much stuff that we're not effective for God. We've got to be sober. We've got to be vigilant, because we have an adversary who walks about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. He just can't come in and devour you. He's got to get your permission. He tries to sound like he's bigger than what he is. He's a toothless lion. In comparison to Jesus, he's toothless. He has been stripped of his authority and power. The Bible said that Jesus made a show of him openly. So why are you so concerned about a naked madman running around in the Spirit naked? That's what he is. We have the advantage because we can resist Satan steadfast in the faith. Stop complaining about what he's doing and start resisting him. Don't let him push your buttons. Resist him. Say, if you identify where Satan is working, say, I don't think so, Satan. You are not going to be working here. You need to go in Jesus' name. Now, all you need to be tonight is thirsty. Jesus said, all those who thirst, come to me and drink, and out of your belly will flow rivers of living water. What does that mean? Every one of us has been given our very own generator that generates power. Because he said rivers, because moving water generates power. Still water doesn't generate power. Do nothing, Christians, don't have any power. You don't need any power if you're not doing anything. Just keep smiling and looking forward, and nobody know that I'll be talking about you. I mean, you have power to do something for God, right? You have power to cast out devils, heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead. And if you get really ambitious, you can cleanse the dead and raise the leper, however you want to do it. All right, we're going to start with you, Miss Dottie. You know, sometimes God works in a chain reaction. I just feel drawn. Father, right now, just fill her.